Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live here this August 15th, 2024. Welcome to the Radio Ranch. We thank you for tuning in to 7x70. We'll talk a little bit about some scriptures tonight, and got some current events I want to talk to you about, whether it's, there's sickness around. And it's getting reported a little bit. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about that tonight, and because it's one of those things that is current as the days that we're living in. But we're going to go to our Heavenly Father first. So, well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone and to, Lord, to fellowship with your people, to be able to be with like-minded individuals and to share your word, Lord, and we are thankful for your word. And thank you for the comfort that it brings, Lord, as the times that we're in are perilous times as we read in your word, Lord. But we know that our end is not the end, Lord, and that you hold us in the palm of your hand and we are the apple of your eye. And that you are faithful in all things. And we thank you for that. We do thank you for the peace and the comfort that come in these days in trusting you. I pray for your blessings on this broadcast tonight, that you give me the words to think and the thoughts to think, the words to say. I guess maybe I'll try to get that right. And that all that we do glorifies you. Again, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for our pastor that went before, Lord, that worked so tirelessly to share the true gospel story and this battle that we're in, Lord, to share that with those that have ears to hear and eyes to see. Direct us down your path, Lord. Let us glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And Remnant, we have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. And be glad to take your call. And quite a bit going on. We are working on Newsletter 9, printing it, getting it, should get it started printing tomorrow. Printing a proof copy, got a proof copy for Jason today. And going over it, and we'll do some little tweaking tomorrow and be printing it. Hopefully by the end of next week, have it in the mail. And again, it's ahead of the game is what we're trying to do to continue to get those newsletters out, the up-to-date and pertinent information, and hopefully some encouragement and help, whether it's help with prayer or help with just what's going on, not to be fearful, because we aren't to be fearful. That's a choice. It's a decision that we have to make, to choose not to fear, or at least to choose what we are going to fear. If it's going to be whether we're going to fear man and what man can do, or if we're going to fear God and his word, and certainly revere that. And so there's plenty to be fearful of, that's for sure, if you're going to go that way. But we do our best not to. So I saw, we've been talking a little bit about this Colorado bird flu, not just in Colorado, but that seems to be being that that's where we are, or real close, and seeing more and more in the news about it here. So I thought I'd share it with you. Right now, the Colorado bird flu. Colorado ranks highest in all the states with cases in, over half of Colorado's dairy herds, the registered dairy herds. I guess if you just got two at home and maybe they're not counting you, but over half of Colorado's dairy herds have been hit with this outbreak of this, they call it HPAI. It's the AH5 variant. Like that means anything, but it's the N1 bird flu, avian bird flu, that now they're saying has infected these dairy herds. And so a lot of the dairy herds have been taken out of production, of course. They're saying that there were earlier, and it's kind of been the standard, that there were 4 human cases of this bird flu transferring from cattle to people, okay? And so had one in Texas, 2 in Michigan, and 1 in Colorado. Well, this latest report, I was looking it up today, 3 more cases in Colorado. Of course, we'll just have to see how that, you know, depending, but haven't seen details on it, just that number of 3 more. So we'll see how that ends up. But so it is continuing. Says more than many in Weld County. That's just a county adjacent to where the church is. It's just like the next county over. Very a little bit more rural and more agricultural type, and that's good. But you know, it sure seems like that this just falls right in line with a couple of different things, and certainly part of it could be the control that our enemy wants to have over the food supply. We've seen shortages in food in the past blamed on, supply chain issues. Oh, they couldn't get the feed for the chickens so we could get the eggs, or they couldn't get the cartons, or they couldn't do this or that regarding that. We've seen over the last several years now, I think it's been almost 4 years, of these food processing plants or storage facilities or chicken farms, egg farms, things like this just exploding at 2 a.m., burning like crazy. And so we've seen those. We've seen quite a bit of, these outbreaks like this, bird flu. And I remember last, what was it? Maybe it was in the spring of this year. But, California was wiping out a million chickens in one area because of different illnesses and things that come up. And so when you look at these things, when these things are standing alone, it's not that, those things happen. You get, bird flu comes out, and sometimes there are fires in things like that, but not all the time. And again, when you start putting 2 and 2 and 2 and 2 and 2 and 2 together, pretty soon you're up to 16 and counting. And it all adds up, and it's the old 2 plus 2 is 4. And so it just seems like that it's a bit more than just coincidence. Does that make sense? I think it does. I hope it does with you. And again, it's we talk about it here and share it with you not to cause fear, not to make you fearful that, oh no, maybe I'll catch the bird flu if I hang around a dairy cow. It's not that. But it's just to be aware of these things that are going on. And it's not just here. And it's not just bird flu. Seems like every couple of years you hear about this Legionnaires' disease. And there's another breakout, another, however you want to call it, group lung infection reported up in New Hampshire. It's a form of pneumonia, Legionnaires' disease. 5 people in downtown Lincoln, New Hampshire, been diagnosed with Legionnaires' disease. This was just released a few days ago, August 12th. 5 affected individuals exposed to contaminated water droplets from a cooling tower behind the Riverwalk Resort. Says if you develop fever or other symptoms of pneumonia within 2 weeks after spending time in that area, you should go talk to your health care provider. And those within a half mile of the cooling tower. Now, that could be thousands of people, just depending on where that is. And so Legionnaires is a type of pneumonia caused by Legionella bacteria, found sometimes in lakes and streams, and but it can grow and spread indoors. Let's see. And so you don't, I remember when I first started hearing about this several years ago. See, it's like every now and then you'll hear this that pops up. And so, again, I don't know if it's, you know, coming from something changing the water. I haven't had a chance to really look into it, but it, I guess it's recoverable. If it's not fatal, it's recoverable with antibiotics. Says about 10% of the people that get it die from the complications. And then if you have outlying issues, it goes up to 25%. And yeah, it's kind of a tough thing. You know, smokers have a worse problem with it. And seeing an outbreak of that up in New Hampshire, and you know, the word talks about health and healing, and the word talks about that the word is healing for our bones. Are you familiar with that? You know, I would think that we would have a lot of sermons taught about that, but not always. I know that I've heard a few, but not too many. But let's take a look in Proverbs. If you have your Bibles, I got another couple current events, but I want to break over here and take a look at this. Let's take a look in Proverbs 3. I didn't have my Bible open here, so let me get over to that. Let's see, Proverbs. That's Old Testament, right? Yeah, Proverbs, Old Testament, right there after. Proverbs 3. I didn't have my Bible open here, so let me get over to that. Let's see, Proverbs. That's Old Testament, right? Yeah, Proverbs, Old Testament, right there after commandment. Now, he doesn't say, just believe. That's not what he's saying there. Let your heart keep my commandment. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. And then it goes on down, but again, it's verse 8. Healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Now, I don't know about you, but I like that. I like healing and refreshment. And so when I see things like that in the scripture, okay, then, you know, I think it's good to take a look at that and say, well, wait a minute. Now, God says here to do this and that, and this is the result. And so it's not all that far-fetched when the Creator says it. A little bit later, Proverbs 12, Proverbs 12, verse 13 says, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. I like that. Escape from trouble. I like the idea of escaping from trouble. And so what do? Well, we have to be righteous. How can we be righteous? Only in Christ. We understand that. We understand that. And because of who he is and what he's done. And so that is what we look to. Here in Proverbs 15, how about this one? Proverbs 15, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. You know, we've talked over the years, it comes to mind, Brother Paul mentioning a message he's done in Branson, Where's the Joy? And I remember Pastor Peters talking about that many times. about where's the joy? Where are the smiles? So few people are happy anymore. So few people smile. Why is that? Well, it's the joyful heart that makes a cheerful face. Well, how about a heart that's not joyful? Well, you're not going to have a cheerful face. You're going to have a frown. And that's what we see. And again, I'm reminded of Brother Paul's, his message from Branson. Where's the joy? It's like it's gone. It's just not there. Anymore, it's just drudgery. Just get by. Just get by. Oh, just one more day at the grind, at the grist mill. And it goes on and says, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. And I think that speaks to how things are today in the land. I wrote down this reference. It's not reference, but just the next page, Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart is good medicine. I like that. I like good medicine, whether it's LDM that you take or, if you can get a good glass of good, fresh, cold, raw milk, boy, that's good. It just makes you feel good, and it is. But the scripture tells us a joyful heart is good medicine. And see, we can choose either to have a joyful heart or not to. And if we don't choose to have a joyful heart, we will not have one. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. We have to choose. We have to see that certainly the glass that God gives us is half full, if it's only half full. And it's not that it's half empty. And believe his scripture where he says he works all things for good for those that love him. And so that, when we know that he's going to work all things for good for those that love him, well, hot diggity, we can have a joyful heart. When we know that maybe not what tomorrow brings, but we know who holds tomorrow, right? And that's a good thing. It really is. So anyway, I even with these Legionnaires' disease and, the bird flu spreading around, and you have to the enemy wants us to not just be concerned with the bird flu, but, it is impacting the food supply in this nation. And so, again, there's something to be aware of. And it's not just in this nation. I saw this report today and published today. It says Sweden is the first case, reports the first case of the highly infectious mpox. Mpox, that's a new word. It's monkeypox. It's what it is. They even say it in the article. Formerly known as monkeypox. But see, mpox, when you do Google searches and things like that, you don't see everything that comes up like you used to under monkeypox. How about that? Anyway, Sweden reports first case of highly infectious monkeypox virus outside of Africa amid an outbreak there in Africa. The World Health Organization has just declared a global emergency for the outbreak of this mpox, monkeypox, in Africa. Imagine that. And it says here from Sweden, this person was infected during a stay. And so when they've come back, they've been treated and given rules of conduct. Let's see. The UN Health Agency said there's been more than 14,000 cases of monkeypox, mainly in Africa this year, over 500 deaths, which has already exceeded last year's figures. 96% of all cases are deaths in the Congo. And let's see. Says this monkeypox belongs in the same virus, same family of viruses as smallpox, but causes milder symptoms, fever, chills, body aches. More serious cases develop lesions on the face, hands, chest, and genitals. Earlier this year, scientists identified a highly contagious form of Mpox, which can kill up to 10% of the people. And very highly contagious, very easily transmittable. So once again, monkeypox. I don't know. It's one more of the diseases of Egypt that have again come upon God's people. Because that's what they do. They come upon God's people. And you just don't hear. Again, it's the misapplication of these diseases of Egypt. But that's one of the ways, not just the 10 plagues, you know, the water turning to blood and those things. But let's flip over, let's flip back a little bit earlier, back to Deuteronomy. And let's take a look there. And no, not Deuteronomy 28, not yet anyway. But let's go back to Deuteronomy, let's see, 7, I think it is. See if that's where I want to be. Let's see. Yeah, Deuteronomy 12 starts the promises of God. I like promises. And verse 15 says, "The Lord will remove from you all the sickness, and he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but he will lay them on all who hate you." Well, that is not happening today, because we have the sicknesses and the plagues of Egypt on us today as a people. Well, let's look up. Verse 12 says, "Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness, which he swore to your forefathers. Because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them." How about that? That sounds like a good thing. But it seems to be lost today. It just does. It just seems to be lost. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And if you want to give a call, and be glad to take your call. And, you know, Psalms 91 talks about that, this a little bit as well, right? "He who dwells in the secret, in the shelter of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." That person, he says, "I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark." It says, "You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction," and that word in my reference Bible says plague, "or of the destruction, the plague that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense, the reward of the wicked. It says, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. And so, see, he, again, this is not for all of mankind. This is very specific, this protection, right? It is for those that dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And that word shelter means, in the reference, is also means secret. Those who dwell in the secret of the Most High will abide in the shadow or the tabernacle of the Almighty. And it almost does seem like a secret, doesn't it? It's really not a secret. I think that shelter seems to explain it better, at least in our English language. But when, like verse 2, when it says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. When we trust in him and his word, he is a refuge. He is a fortress that we can go to and that we can be protected in. I don't know of any other comfort, of any other way to get through these sicknesses, whether it's another outbreak of monkeypox or whether it's antibiotic resistant tuberculosis that we see. Coming in with all the illegal aliens and the illegal invaders that have invaded this nation and that pop up in different places. We see it rampant in the land. We just do, and it's sad. We'll go to a little song. Let me grab a drink of water. And again, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. We've got a few minutes left, about 20 minutes left. And the program tonight, live program, this August 15th. And we'll be back right after this.
This crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. Warp it up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us
sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hey, good evening, caller. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Richard. It's Will down in Texas.
Hey, good evening, Will. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. I just wanted to share something with you. Just before the broadcast started tonight, my wife and I were having a conversation about the enemy. And specifically, we were talking about snake stomping. And we were discussing that maybe the most formidable weapon that a snake has is nothing but fear. And listening to you talk about these diseases tonight, that's kind of what I was thinking is, really what this is just the fear that the enemy uses us or uses against us. And I just wanted to say, praise God for having a living Lord that we don't have to be in that kind of fear.
Amen to that. Amen to that. You know, I can remember, Will, growing up, my dad he hated snakes. He didn't want anything to do with them. And
yes, sir.
He'd say, you know, there's only four kind of snakes, and that's big ones, little ones, dead ones, and alive ones.
That's right.
And
I was raised by my grandfather, and he used to tell me when he would kill a snake, I would say, what kind of snake is it? And he said, I never gave him a chance to ask his name.
Right, right. That's how my dad was. And I remember, you know, we would try to, you know, of course, as a child, you think you're smarter, but try to reason with Dad about that. Well, Dad, this snake's not poisonous. And he's like, well, you know, it might make me hurt myself. He didn't care. And so I think that ties in with what you're saying. There was a fear factor there. You know, I can't help but think, like, you know, during the plagues of Egypt, I'm sure, you know, when there's frogs and boils, and even if it's not on you, if it's on, you know, all the people you're used to being around, there's a certain amount, there's a fear factor that's there. But, you know, in Exodus 15, verse 26, God says, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians. And
amen.
So there's the answer for sure.
You got it. I think that's just what we need to remember is no matter what fear, what disguise it is in, what shape it comes in, whether it's a pandemic or whatever craziness is going on in the world, we're still covered in that shelter, in that mighty fortress. And we don't have to have that spirit of fear. We don't have to be dependent upon that.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Richard, I appreciate you. You have a good night.
Thanks, Will. God bless.
Uh-huh.
307-745-5913. And, you know, the 23rd Psalm, we usually see that on you know, read that at funerals. But it's certainly not just for funerals. You know, the verse 4 of Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you know, that rod and that staff, you know, those represent the power and authority of God. You know, the power and authority, that's what that rod and staff represent. And so that's a comfort. See, it's a comfort when you come in the name of the Lord. There is a strength there. Now, it's all but been lost, I think, in today's society. But that's society's fault. That's our fault, not God's. The power and the authority are still there. It goes on and says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And, you know, I think relating that to the diseases and the health issues we're talking about tonight, you know, that means that, you know, bring that bird flu on. Let it be in the dairy. It's not going to be in our dairy. You're going to provide food for us right in the midst of this. That's what he says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Right in the middle of what my enemies who want to destroy me, destroy us, God says, I got you covered right here in the middle of them. Almost like the old saying from Chesty Puller back in, what was that, the Korean War? Wasn't he the Marine? Said when they were all surrounded, said, that's okay, boys. We got them right where we want them. We can fire in any direction and hit them. And let the enemies come. Says, you have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Now that's if the Lord is your shepherd. Now, you know, if the Lord's not your shepherd, if you don't want anything to do with him or his people, you know, if you don't want anything to do with the Bible or the Word, well, maybe the Lord's not your shepherd. Maybe you don't want him. Well, if you don't want him as your shepherd, well, this psalm might not apply to you. You know, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, if the Lord isn't your shepherd, guess what? You will want. Because you will never have enough. You'll never be enough. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul. Well, if the Lord's not your shepherd, your soul will not be restored. It'll be torn and bitter. And when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if you get that far, you will fear. You will fear, and you will have no comfort. You know, I think it's interesting that, you know, the whole, our duty here is to fear God, to keep his commandments, to do what he says. Jesus even reiterated that several times, saying, you know, if you truly are my friends, prove it by doing what I tell you to do. He says, you know, it's my disciples, my friends, those that love me are those that obey, not that believe. And see, that's been twisted around, and that belief only is what's been presented today in the false Judeo-Christian world as just believe. But that's not what the God of the Bible says. That's not what the Jesus of the Bible says. That might be what the Jesus, small j, of the Judeo-Christian church world says, or at least what their pastors tell you. But all throughout the scripture, it is those that do. Those that do. And I've got Jeremiah marked. Jeremiah 46. because I think it's an encouragement to me when I read it. It's a reminder to me. It is a blessing to those that know who they are, that know who their God is. Jeremiah 46, starting in verse 27, it says, "But as for you, O Jacob, my servant, do not fear, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For see, I am going to save you from afar and save your descendants from the land of their captivity. And Jacob will return and be undisturbed and secure, with no one making him tremble." Verse 28, "O Jacob, my servant, do not fear, declares the Lord, for I am with you. For I will make a full end of all the nations where I have driven you. Yet I will not make a full end of you." Now that's comforting to me. You know, you tie that in with Revelation. You tie that in with the perilous times, the destruction that the Scripture talks about. We read it earlier, the 10,000 that may fall at your side. It says, "Yet I will not make a full end of you." See, Jacob and Israel will not be destroyed. Now he goes on and says, "But I will correct you properly and by no means leave you unpunished." And see, I think that correction is going on right now. And righteously so. Let's see. Where do I want to go? I got one more scripture I want to get to. And back to Deuteronomy, not 28, but Deuteronomy 32. And just as Deuteronomy 28 describes where we are today, Deuteronomy 32 is a type of summary. I encourage you to go back and read Deuteronomy 32. It's the Song of Moses. Now, there's a few different songs of Moses. He was like on the hit parade there for a while and had a few different songs, but Deuteronomy 32 is the song of Moses, and when you read through it, you see that God chose Jacob and carried him and provided for him and just blessed him beyond measure. Okay. Again, verses 1 through 14 kind of talks about that. But then in verse 15 it says, "But Jeshurun," which again is another name for Israel, okay, Jeshurun, "Israel grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick, and sleek." And then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. And see, that's where we are today. We have grown fat and kicked. What's the term we use? Fat and happy, right? We've grown fat and happy. It's just, again, there's no joy, so there's no happiness, but the fat is still there. It says, "You neglected the rock," verse 18. "You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth." You know, Romans talks about that when it talks about the men giving up the natural affection and burning after men and the women doing the same thing. And it was because they did not acknowledge God. And God gave them over to the sinful deprivations of their heart and their mind. Allowed them to go out of their mind. And it was, as verse 18 in Deuteronomy 32 says, "You forgot the God who gave you birth." Verse 23 says, "I will heap misfortunes on them. I will use my arrows on them. They will be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction." Verse 25 says, "Outside the sword will bereave and Inside Terror, both Young Man and Virgin, The Nursling with The Man of Gray Hair. I would have said, I will cut them to pieces. I will remove the memory of them from men, had I not feared the provocation by the enemy, that their adversaries would misjudge, that they would say, our hand is triumphant, and the Lord has not done all this. See, he says he will not make a complete end to us, not because of us, but because of him, so that he is glorified, and so that his enemies are not. Verse 28, for they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future. And so, again, the Song of Moses, it just, again, is points out that when we turn to our God, he withholds nothing from us. But when we turn away from him, when we forget him, when we scorn him, when we think we've done it, when we come up with things like evolution, that, oh yeah, these things here just happened over millions of years. That's the way it's explained away. Instead of giving credit to God, instead of acknowledging God, verse 34 says, is it not laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasury, says God? Vengeance is mine and retribution. And the good news, as we're kind of wrapping up here, verse 36 says, for the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servants when he sees that their strength is gone, and there is none remaining, bond or free. And he will say, where are their small g gods, the rock in which they sought refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifice and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your hiding place. And see, there's a bit of mockery there and sarcasm. Yes, from God Almighty. Verse 39 says, see now that I am he, and there is no God beside me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. And verse 43, rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance on his adversaries, and will atone for his land and his people. I can tell you, I do not want to be his adversaries, because he will render vengeance upon them. I would much rather be his servant. Who have been wounded, who have been and are being chastised, as we are today. And we are to learn from that. We are. Well, let me check. I got one more place marked in my Bible, but I think I read that. Yeah, that was in Jeremiah. He will correct us properly, and that is what he is doing. But you know, we're corrected by a loving father to children that he loves and cares for and desires to be perfect. He desires us to be perfect in Christ. And that is why we are by no means being or going unpunished. Well, Remnant, thanks for tuning in. I'm out of voice, out of my notes tonight, but that's okay. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for your prayers. We're working on, again, Volume 9 of The Dragon Slayer. We'll have that out next week, we hope, good Lord willing. And we invite you back Friday or Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. You can join us Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast. for Coffee with the Wranglers right here at scripturesforamerica.org. Thank you, Remnant. Know that we pray for you, and we ask your prayers. If you have a specific prayer request you ask, we'll be glad to pray for you. God bless.
Had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had. When the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same.